welcome you to the Albert Lea Freeborn County Chamber of Commerce Governmental Affairs Committee hosting our candidate forum this evening. And this is for Legislative District 27A, incumbent Peggy Bennett and challenger Thomas Martinez. And I welcome both individuals into our Kate Studio location. We have our social distancing in place, and we did set the ground rules already for our forum this evening. 2 minutes for each opening statement, and the questions were submitted by residents of Freeborn County and the district. For each candidate, we'll have 2 minutes to respond to the question. We'll alternate the questions as we move forward. At this time, I'd like to welcome in challenger Thomas Martinez. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
And incumbent Peggy Bennett, welcome.
Thank you.
At this time, we will start with our two-minute opening comments, and that will be first for Peggy Bennett. 2 minutes.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mike. And I just first want to start off by saying thank you to Mike of Kate Radio and Sherry, the director of the Freeborn County Albert Lea Chamber of Commerce, for setting this up, taking the time. I know it's a lot, so I appreciate that, because it's good for people to hear the issues. And I want to talk about the issues for a second, but first I want to say it has been such a joy to represent the people of 27A as their state representative. My favorite thing, and I've said this before, is just to get out and around amongst the people and chat with them, go to events, hear from them, because I believe that the best ideas come from home, right here at home, the boots on the ground people, as I call them. I've really missed that this summer with all the restrictions we've had. Unfortunately, with the COVID things, we haven't been able to have wine down Wednesdays and our soup and pies. Oh, do I miss those soup and pie suppers? But I bet you there's a lot of people that do. But just thank you so much for the honor and the opportunity to serve you. And I just want to say a little bit about the issues. I think it's so important to debate the issues and not throw mud at each other. And I want to say thank you to Mr. Martinez for being solid on the issues and just being a good opponent and one that doesn't throw mud. I appreciate that so much. And one of the things I detest about politics, I always have, is the mudslinging and the name-calling. And I just think, first of all, people want to hear about the issues. They don't want to hear about all the dirt. It's usually fake dirt that people dig up. And second of all, it just distracts from the real debate. So thank you again, Thomas, for a good race, and I hope that, you know, everybody can learn from each other. I don't know how we can expect politicians to work together if they keep throwing mud. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. At this time, we have Thomas Martinez, the challenger, and you have 2 minutes for your opening statement.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Thomas Martinez. I'm a candidate for House 27A. First of all, I want to thank you, Sherry, the Chamber of Commerce, and Mike Whitus with Kate Radio, for having me here today. I want to thank you, Ms. Bennett, for being here, and I want to thank your listeners for tuning in. I'm here because Albert Lea is my home. I was born here. This is where my wife, Natalie, an attorney and public defender, and I choose to raise our 4 small children. I've been all over this district and worked a variety of jobs, including bartending, laboring, temp services, welding, and a CDL driver for Thompson Sanitation, and I'm currently driving for St. John's while I attend MSU Mankato and the biomed program in my junior year. I'm here for the long haul, and I'm very concerned about certain trends I see going on right here in our district. I'm talking about losing valuable healthcare services, farmers not finding markets for the crops, and leaders who undermined our public health experts during a very serious global pandemic. I want to work with our next generation of leaders and scientists who understand the consensus that climate change is real. It is here, driven by human activity, and we need to deal with it in a very real and strategic manner. This is especially urgent to me because I care a great deal about this district and about how we leave it for my 4 young, small children.
Thank you very much, Mr. Martinez and Ms. Bennett, for your opening statements. As I told both candidates, we did a flip of the coin to determine who would take the first question. Each candidate will have 2 minutes to respond to the question. If they want to add their 2 cents in, we're not going to go back and forth. It's not a debate. This is a candidate's forum to keep our listeners informed of what each candidate is standing for. At this time, Mr. Martinez will receive the first question, and that question, again, submitted by residents of this district to the Chamber of Commerce office. Mr. Martinez, you touched on it in your opening statement. How would you support the local ag industry? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
We've seen a lot of problems over the years with the ag industry. Commodity prices have been low. Climate change has had a real effect on crops here. And then came the pandemic. We had disruptions to our food supply chain, and our pork industry, unfortunately, had a lot of losses in not being able to get their product from their farms to our freezers and tables. What we need to do now is work with ag and federal insurance companies to make sure those farmers are getting all the assistance they need. And we need to help farmers find their markets by ending this terrible trade war we're having with China. And increasing local demand for corn would help. And we can do that by supporting our biofuels industry. As I understand it right now, the biofuel plant in Glenville is running at reduced capacity. And if we had legislators who promoted a renewable energy grid, instead of questioning the science behind climate change, then we could have markets for them. If we had leaders who didn't try to tie windmills with having caused cancer, then we could have twice as many windmills as we have here that would help farmers diversify their income from volatile commodity prices and our changing climate. Thank you,
Mr. Martinez. Same question for you, Ms. Bennett. How would you support the local ag industry? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
Thank you. Well, you know what? Getting out and visiting farms has been an amazing experience for me, learning how to combine corn and learning how to plant soybeans and standing amidst this flock of turkeys in this turkey barn that were gobbling in waves. It's just amazing. And farmers have been my heroes, really. They have to be able to know and do so much, and I won't get into that because I want to get into how I would support them and just say that I will continue to do what I have been doing, and that is supporting farmers. One of the things I like to do is get out in front of issues, and when the hog farmers contacted me and let me know of the issues happening because of COVID with hogs having to be euthanized and nowhere to put them, not even a way to dispose of them, I was able to immediately contact our leaders at the state level, from our agriculture commissioner to leaders in the House and in the Senate, as well as our congressmen, and get things rolling to try to help them deal with that crisis. It's important. The other thing that I think is important, and I've been a part of already, is just lowering property taxes. That's one of the root causes of what is affecting farmers. You go across the border into Iowa, property taxes are much lower. So I was able to help with that, with lowering the school portion of property taxes. But we need to do more. We have to be competitive. We have to have common sense reduction of regulations while keeping our environment safe. And we can do both of those things. Farmers are one of the best environmentalists that I know of. They want to keep their farms in good shape for the environment, for water quality, and all those things. So I have loved being able to support farmers, love getting out to those farms and learning more about the issues, and would continue doing that.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. You'll now field the second question first, and you'll have 2 minutes for your response on this. This came in via the Chamber Facebook site. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, what is your plan to get the state of Minnesota financially back on track, as a projected $5 billion shortfall in the state's budget? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
Thank you. And we do have a serious crisis coming up. We're already in the midst of it. We have over a $2 billion deficit right now. we're facing more next year, $5 billion or more. And with a budget last budget cycle of, I believe it was $48.3 billion, $5 or $6 billion is a huge chunk out of that. So my first goal would be to protect the core functions of government from cuts. We don't want to see cuts in things like core functions, education, law enforcement, public safety, and so on. My mind's blanking out here, roads and bridges. We have core functions of government that we want to protect from cuts as much as we can. Secondly, we want to make sure that what programs we are funding are working. And I can tell you there is a lot that are not working. We should get rid of those programs. Let's keep the programs that are helping people. Let's get rid of the ones that aren't working. I had a bill last session which actually almost made it across the finish line had not COVID hit. It's called evidence-based government, and it would require programs that are getting government grants to name their goals and then collect data to show the effectiveness of reaching that goal. And if the programs are effective, we should keep going with them. But if they're not, let's find a different way to help people. We're going to have to do a lot of cutting next year, so let's protect those core functions of government. And let's get rid of what's not working and, you know, make government work for people.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. Same question for Mr. Martinez. In the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, what is your plan to get the state of Minnesota financially back on track with a projected $5 billion shortfall in the state's budget? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
Excellent. Well, 2 minutes isn't a long time to to discuss how we get through COVID, how we balance a budget, and how we get our economy back on track, but I'll do my best. First of all, we need to acknowledge that COVID-19 is real. We have a large population who is anti-science and who thrives off that adversary attitude. What we need to do is support our public health experts, and we need to take their advice and wear our masks when we're out and about, so that we can protect people. What we need are practical solutions, not ideological solutions, to this pandemic. The most economical thing we can do to get back on track is to take this seriously, individually. As far as the budget deficit is concerned, I'm glad that Ms. Bennett was able to get the bonding bill passed. That's the first thing we need to do, is to get people back to work. The next thing we need to do is to shore up revenue. We do that by cutting corporate tax loopholes that allow millions of dollars to go to our wealthiest contributors without being flowed back into our community. A lot of times when assistance is given from our federal government, that goes to larger corporations, like, say, Mayo Clinic, who got a lot of money from the CARES Act. And instead of using that to actually protect their workers' payments, as it was called, we've seen them cut another valuable clinic out of the Blooming Prairie area. That is not a way to get through this COVID-19 emergency. That does not help people get back to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. You will field, I believe this is question number 3 on the list. What is your position on sanctuary cities, and or should Minnesota be a sanctuary state? And this again coming in through the Chamber Facebook page. You have 2 minutes for your response.
Okay. If I may start off by lamenting a little bit. Republicans are masters of creating a name for something and then demonizing it. This is great. This is great strategic with advertising, and it does them a great service. Meanwhile, Democrats, who have more of a grassroots base, tend to get their slogans from the streets, such as Black Lives Matter or Defund the Police. You know, these are very unattractive slogans to hear, and they don't make you feel comfortable and cozy inside, like the term. Anyways, so. What I want to say about sanctuary cities is it's been so demonized. It's been so harped on by the media, and we're filled with these images of people who have been hurt by an immigrant, and that is very sad, but that is not the national average. The real conversation we're having right now is should our law enforcement be allowed to be hijacked by ICE and to do their bidding instead of protecting and serving our communities? To that I say no. Do I want to give us a title that would seek retribution from President Trump? No. Do I think it would be great to have that target painted on me as a public servant? No. No, I don't think I truly have the broad support of my own party to push this agenda forward. But if you're asking for my personal beliefs, I would say local law enforcement has no business enforcing federal regulations. If you're asking me as a legislature if I'm going to vote for to make us a sanctuary city in Albert Lee, that's preposterous. We don't have the public support.
Please. Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Same question for you, Representative Bennett. Your position on a sanctuary city and or should the state of Minnesota be a sanctuary state? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I want to say that I believe our country and our state and our local community should be welcoming of immigrants, immigrants of all type. We are a country of immigrants from the very beginning, and we want to see that done in a common sense way, and refugees, people escaping other countries and coming to our country, which has so many freedoms, precious freedoms. I think that's amazing that we're able to offer that as a country. So I very much am in support of legal immigration and our legal immigrants. And we have many here in our local communities, Albert Lee, Wells, and so on. At the same time, I do not support sanctuary states or sanctuary cities. And the reason I don't support that is we are a country and a state of law and order. And we have laws that we're not supposed to break them. And when people come across the border illegally and attempt to come into our country and our state, that really hurts all of us because it hurts the rule of law. So I want to see the rule of law enforced. I want to see it a compassionate rule of law. And I want to see immigrants become parts of our communities, which they are, and I value so very much. And we can continue that. Thank you.
Next question comes to you, Ms. Bennett. You'll have 2 minutes for your comment, and Mr. Martinez just touched upon it. Are you in favor of defunding police departments around the state of Minnesota? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
Give you a quick answer. No, I am not in favor of defunding police or anything. One of the core functions of our government, from the state level to local level, is public safety. And we have so many wonderful public servants in law enforcement and first responders, our firefighters, all of those who help protect us. And we need to fund that properly. That's part of the state's job. People want to be safe. They want their property to be safe. We also want our laws to be fair, and we have some reforming that needs to be done in certain areas on how we're treating certain people. But let's not let a few bad apples, and in any type of work experience, we're going to have those from teaching. There's teachers who have been involved in sexual abuse, but we don't bash all teachers. There's police officers who are involved in treating people improperly. And we shouldn't be bashing all the police officers for that. So let's support our law enforcement. Let's make sure that our laws are working for everybody. But we should not get rid of or defund our police.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. Mr. Martinez, same question for you. You touched upon it. Are you in favor of defending the police or what your position would be? You have 2 minutes for your response.
Thank you. No, I am not in favor of defunding the police. I want to defend the police from, as Ms. Bennett puts it, the bad apples within there. If we had a terrorist cell within our army, it would be of the utmost importance to find them and to extricate them from within. And we need to do that same thing with white supremacists in our law enforcement. It's an ugly thing to say, but I would be remiss as a person of color if I didn't bring that up right now in this moment. We've seen a lot of turmoil in this state, a lot of destruction, and a lot of people are really hurting from the actions taken by a few bad apples. I want to see accountability. I want to see civilian oversight. I want to see our law enforcement succeed at what they do by removing the people out there who make it hard for them to get public support. Now, I've had a very authentic upbringing as a person of color growing up on the south side of Albert Lea. I know almost every cop. Known them my whole life. They know my brother and my family. And you know what? I have a lot of love for them. They're good people, you know? And I'm willing, I'm going to go on ride-alongs. I'm going to meet with police. I'm going to see what they need for me to help keep our community safe. And at the same time, I'm going to be a representative who works for all people, who works for a more inclusive Minnesota, and who wants accountability within our police department. I don't want to see grand juries. I don't want to see statute of limitations or why these people need to be allowed to kill more people. I want to see real accountability and quality representation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. This next question you'll start off with. And I know there's probably more than three, but the question comes in. If elected for District 27A, what are your top three priorities for the 2021 legislative session? And you have 2 minutes for your response.
First thing we need to do is make sure that the most people possible can get the most affordable health care possible. We're going to do that by allowing the MNSHR buy-in option to be available to anybody who chooses to purchase it. What we see from Minnesota Republicans is just wanting to dismantle Obamacare and take away protections for those pre-existing conditions, or what people in the rest of the world call it, a medical history. The next thing we need to do is get our economy back on track. I believe the way to do that is by investing in a renewable energy grid, converting to more sustainable agriculture, and protecting our water and promoting our tourist industry and water recreational tourist industry and the bike paths we use. That's going to help our economy with local businesses come here organically, and it's going to help people want to move to here. Lastly, what I want to do is just provide quality representation to our diverse community. If you go down, in the courthouse and look at all the judges, and then go over to the library and look at all the pictures of all the councilmen, and then you go to look at all the firemen, and then you're going to go look at all our legislature, and you're going to see a lot of people that look the same: blue hair, or blue eyes, white skin, and mostly male. And what I want, and if you look at our demographics in here, that's not a true representation of our community. But what I want to do is provide quality representation for everybody for a more inclusive Minnesota.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Same question for Ms. Bennett. If in this case reelected, what are your top three priorities for the 2021 legislative session? You have 2 minutes for your response.
Thank you. That's a tough one because there's so many important issues, from health care, child care shortage, our nursing home funding and funding of PCAs and so on. But I guess I was going to pick three important ones amongst all those. One would be, one of my passions is government reform. I want to see us get government working for people better. And when I see these huge omnibus bills, and one was the bonding bill that just passed, and part of the reason that we struggled with it is so huge, and it had many other, it had a tax bill in it, it had supplemental spending in it, and it's just tough to get those those passed into law, and it causes a lot of gridlock. So I actually had a bill this last session to attempt to reform omnibus bills into more of a one-bill, one-vote type process, and that, too, got caught up in the COVID issues with all the shutdowns that we had in the legislature. I'd like to continue working on that. As I touched on, you know, the evidence-based spending, making sure government is spending our money wisely. Education's a huge one to me, and I think actually, you know, I'm a former teacher of 33 years, and I believe that education actually is one of the keys to so many issues we're seeing, from our workforce issues to even our inner city, the poverty and the hopelessness that we see. Education is the answer, and we have amazing teachers. So our education system, though, is stuck, and though we have amazing teachers, it's a system that's just not working for many students. I want to see that reformed, and I do have a lot of ideas on how to go about doing that. And last of all, just say with the deficit, that is going to be probably one of our main issues to deal with, that $5 billion plus deficit we're going to deal with next year. And I've already touched on that, but I want to see smart spending, and I want to see us protect those core functions of government, which would be education, public safety, and caring for our vulnerable, such as people in nursing homes.
Thank you very much. Both candidates, you can take a deep breath now, because we could go on probably for another half hour talking about some of the topics that are affecting not only the citizens of District 27A, but the citizens of our great state of Minnesota, which we are all proud to live in. At this time, we are going to have our two-minute closing comments. First and foremost, I want to make it publicly known that I really appreciate Mr. Martinez and Ms. Bennett not mudslinging. It's been what I see as a news director, very clean campaign. You both have issues, both want to be represented of this great Freeborn County. We have a lot of good things going on here in Freeborn County, and I'll just mention it. We had a great celebration yesterday with Officer Mattson coming back into our community, and that was something very special. So thank you, Mr. Martinez. Thank you, Ms. Bennett. At this time, I believe if my notes are correct, Ms. Bennett, you have 2 minutes for your closing statement.
All right. Well, thank you again for this. It was a great opportunity just to get the issues out and on the table, and there's so many more issues we could have touched on. Like you say, we could go on and on, but I think our listeners have probably had enough of politics for tonight. Just thank you again to the communities of 27A for giving me this privilege to serve you, and that's what I really desire to do. As a young teacher, I desire to serve families, and now as I'm retired from teaching and in the position of state representative, I just desire to serve our people, from our seniors to our families to children. Actually, children are probably the biggest reason I ran for office in the first place. I have over 750 former students that I call my kids. I still stay in touch with many of them, and I want them to have the same opportunities that I had, the same financial opportunities, the same freedoms, and I have a passion for that. So I would love to continue to serve. There's so many things I could close on in the way of issues, but I won't. I'll just give a shout-out to Officer Mattson and say welcome back to him, and a shout-out to all of the community members who I serve, and thank you again.
Thank you, Ms. Bennett. At this time, Mr. Martinez, you have 2 minutes for your closing comments.
Thank you. I think we all saw the Facebook video of Officer Mattson calling in dispatch. I could tear up now just picturing
absolutely
the sincerity of that moment. So yes, welcome back indeed. I would just like to reiterate that I am a father and an environmentalist. I care a great deal about our lakes, our streams, our farmland, these parks and public lands, and amenities like water recreation and bike paths that make our district a healthy and attractive place to live, work, and play. When we protect our environment and move to a more sustainable, renewable energy grid, we can use our natural resources without exploiting them. We can create new high-paying jobs and stimulate our economy. I'm a parent, and what I want to do for my kids is safeguard their future by building a more resilient local economy. I'm concerned that wages have no longer kept on track with productivity gains. They've not kept on track with inflation. And that automation and technological advances are pushing manufacturing and retail industries to rely less on our workforce and more on government subsidies. I want a tax system that is fair for workers and for families, where corporations like Amazon pay their fair share, so that middle-income families and farmers don't have to bear the heaviest burden and these high property taxes, income taxes, and levies to fund our schools and healthcare services. I'm going to work so that all families have access to affordable and quality healthcare, affordable childcare. If you're interested in joining my campaign and help get out the vote these last 2 weeks, or if you want to see my full platform, please visit thomasfor27a.com.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Thank you again, Ms. Bennett. The Albert Lee Freeborn County Chamber of Commerce Governmental Affairs Committee would like to thank our listeners for joining in. It is being recorded, and it will be played back tomorrow. My thanks to Sherry Jensen as well, Executive Director of the Albert Lee Freeborn County Chamber of Commerce. If you haven't yet, it is your right to get out and vote the general election coming up November 3rd. That'll take care of our coverage tonight here on KATE. I'm Mike Whitus. Have a wonderful evening.